Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide, and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair Radio, Hair Radio, Hair Radio, Hair Radio, Hair Radio, Hair Radio.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
You realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
Oh, come on, John. Can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
Understanding of truly who we are. Instead of brother turning on
loyalty's all gone. But brother's gonna work it out.
Brother's gonna work it out.
Brother's gonna work it all out.
Brother's gonna work it out.
Our brother say, stop the pimps, the hustlers, the pusher man, as bad as you can. Open your ears and eyes to the facts of what's truly holding you back.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world. Every day, that's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines, right here on the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York live. Always make it a great day.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a very special guest with us today. You guys know her. She's been with us before. Her name is Captain Smash. Now, she has an amazing story to tell you.
It made headlines out in Indianapolis, Indiana, just this past year. And we are so excited to welcome her back to the show, but this time to tell the story. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the superstar, Captain Smash. Welcome back. Good morning.
Well, hello.
Yes, yes, hello to you. And all of the listeners out there, you've just made such an impact with everyone. And we're going to tell everybody just why and how you have resonated with so much, with so many, I should say, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So first of all, let's talk about some of the things that you've been up to. But before we get into that, Captain Smash, I want to give folks a little bit of background. Now, you are a hairstylist, a licensed cosmetologist. You have folks that you service in several states, but mainly we're talking about out in Indianapolis, Indiana, and also you're known in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, on top of that, you're what's called a custom tailor. And so you provide special services to those who do not wish to have a traditional funeral at a funeral home, and you work in conjunction with the funeral home. Can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly a custom tailor is and how it all comes to, you know, how does it all work? Share that with us again.
A tailor is someone as in an accessory. You know, let's just use it metaphorically saying, you know, when you get that vehicle, but you have to have, you know, it come with tires and seats and things like that, but you want rims, you want color, you want, you know, those things. So in this business realm, that's who I am. I'm the accessory. So you don't want the traditional base prepping you. You want your last going home to be just who you are, whimsical, magnificent. You want to be at your best. And that's what I try to bring forth, the best.
Now, for folks who have never heard of a custom tailor or going home service such as what you've just described, this is something, as you point out, where it kind of almost shows the person as the way they were remembered, or or the family would like them to be remembered, which was. Now, this is usually a little bit less expensive than a traditional funeral. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Depending on area, location, a lot of, you have a group of people that are not really churchgoers, or, you know, that wouldn't per se to have a traditional church homegoing service because, you know, they're not church people. They're not, or for the young people that are not church people, you can have this homegoing in your home, a private service, and would come and rearrange the home, and the family would cook, eat, whatever you're going to do in those 2 to 3 hours, and then to the burial place or to the cremation or whatever have you, that's at your limits of funding.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm really happy to have back with us the one and only Captain Smash. And she's really been a big part of the Hair Radio Morning Show success by sharing what she does with everyone across the country, literally around the world. Captain Smash, you've kindly explained about a custom tailor and a going home service, and everybody has heard your commercial right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But now, there was a situation that made literally big news around the country, but it was an event that happened out in Indianapolis, Indiana, where you are based. And this pretty much, this occurred last year, but it's a story that I never could shake or get out of my mind. Now, it tells the story. It all kind of starts where you, Captain Smash, were hired as a custom tailor to work with the family as part of their wishes and a going-home service for a young lady who was killed. Her name is Jasmine, a young lady, a young woman who was killed, kind of like in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I want you to kind of, you know, tell us a little bit about this whole process. And I think it's, let's just kind of start with at the beginning, of course, and that's the woman was killed, you know, just, you know, like we said, at the wrong place at the wrong time. You were hired to take on the services, but at the actual going home service, now, where was the going home service? Not the part, the actual going home service. Where was that? Was that at a home or a funeral place?
No, that
where?
Was inside the funeral place. Like, you can rent a secluded room to have your service in. Like I said,
okay, so that's kind of how this whole story kicks off, where they were having a service for this young woman.
A private service. That being said, as the tailor, you know, if the family is saying, "Hey, it's a private service. We don't need security, or we don't need." You know, X, Y, Z, because it's a private service. It's just going to be immediate family, loved ones. Okay.
Well, and this moves it along perfectly in the setup. So the part of this that kind of really is just mind-blowing is that at this private service, gunfire breaks out. And the reason that it was reported on the news is that the gunfire broke out because the young lady who passed away, whose funeral, you know, she was the decedent, the story goes that it was a reported gang member, was her cousin. This was reported by the news. And so they're saying that the rival gang of, you know, the rival gang came after her cousin, who was a reported or disputed gang member or, you know.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. 2, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And 3, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Peggy Dotson. Now, she is the woman behind UBC TV Network. The Hair Radio Show would like to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Welcome, Peggy.
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, listen, first of all, it's great to have you here. Now, we need to tell everyone what the UBC TV Network is.
Okay. First of all, Carrie, I'm so excited about being here.
Yay.
Just I just, you know, I am your fan. I think you're awesome. It's just really great. Well, UBC TV is actually, it started out as a concept for a TV network, but it has evolved into a broadcast multimedia company with different divisions and things like that. So it's sort of like a hybrid between a cable network, broadcast network, and a technology company, online company like a Netflix. So it's sort of like my own creation because of where we are in the industry. You know, cable is there, but it's not there like it was before. People are unplugging, and so people want the opportunity to view things on different platforms. By the way, which I have, you know, I was ahead of my time because I was pushing this years ago, and
many years. We're not going to say how many.
It's true. I know we don't want to say how many, but you know, and then people want you know to see original content. Content is still king and queen. So so that's what basically we're all about is original content that is distributed over multiple platforms, including, you know, online, live streaming on demand, cable, live events, and different other little, you know, arms of it, which I think we'll get into as just we move forward. But, yeah, but that's what it's evolved into, not just a network,
terrific.
But more than that, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are going to get into every facet of this, Peggy. We really are.
Okay.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's start at the beginning. Now, share with our fans, tell everybody where you are from and where you take care of business these days.
Okay. Well, the planet Venus. I am actually, sometimes I feel like an alien. I'm actually originally from Arkansas. The great
Arkansas.
State of Arkansas. Yeah, Bill Clinton and
Little
Maya Angelou. I'm from Stuttgart, actually. Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is really in between Little Rock and Pine Bluff. So I grew up down south. And the first half of my life and the second half of my life, there's a third and a fourth part of my life that I haven't lived yet, so it's not over yet. But the next phase of my life I grew up in is in New York City. So, you know, I am from Stuttgart, Arkansas. My mother and father were entrepreneurs. God bless them. They're my mentors. They are my inspiration. They both are with God, and they passed away. They are with me every day. My father was a master plumber, and he was and that was revolutionary at that time because you don't have very many African Americans who are master plumbers in Stuttgart, in a town, Stuttgart, Arkansas, which was, you know, racially divided. And my father and mother had businesses that catered to white people. I mean, we, you know, at that time, like you said, in the South, I was growing up, you know, the civil rights era had started, and the Black Panthers and all that kind of stuff, but we still had a lot of racial division down there. And, you know, so and it was very, you know, that's, you know, it affected me and helped mold me, and I started working with my daddy. I did a little bookkeeping stuff at age 10 in his plumbing company. And it just taught me discipline. And then at age 14, I was working with my mother. She, my mother had a restaurant. So we have a restaurant business kind of in our family, and I learned the restaurant business. I was on the grill cooking. I was waiting tables, and I answered the phone, you know, to take orders, and I answered the phone for my daddy, Dawson's Plumbing Company, and when the clients called and all that kind of stuff. So at age 10 up to 14, I was, you know, learning the how to be an entrepreneur, and it's so important, I feel, that we have to teach our children at a young age about money and entrepreneurship because it really has helped me mold and shape me and helped me to be independent, a self-starter, and helped me get through a lot of adversity that I would not regularly have probably gotten through the way that I have and landed on my feet. you know, because it does teach you discipline.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite amazed when I hear a story like yours in which both of your parents were entrepreneurs and you helping out. Because mm-hmm. it does. What that does, in my belief, is that it channels that wonderful, it just teaches you without having to have been taught, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's almost like osmosis, you know. It just goes mm-hmm. right on in there, and it's there. It's there. And
yeah.
you don't even realize it's there. And then, you know, as you start getting older, you're somehow... it kind of harkens back to that great foundation and introduction and fortitude that you just happen to have picked up along the way. That you know,
yeah.
it's just, I'm blown away by that something that you were able to get from your father and your mother. And look at the way that I look at it, look at the legacy that you've
yeah.
been able to, you know, to continue.
Yeah. Also, my spiritual connection to God, and you know, my mother and father mm-hmm. were very into the church, and you know, it has extended through me. I'm a very spiritual person. It has pushed me to expand and learn a lot about different religions and cultures and things. But Mom and Daddy, my mother was like the mother of a church, and she was a gospel promoter. I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy,
oh,
Reverend James
yes.
Cleveland, at a young age
wow.
because my mother, she put on gospel. She was a gospel promoter. And my mother was mm-hmm. amazing. I'm telling you, my father
wow.
was amazing. And they are both my, you know, so I learned a lot about that, and it helped me in my music, you know, because I have another part of me that's part of the music industry and singing and all that. And
you do have a beautiful voice for you
oh,
guys out
you.
There. So maybe you'll give them a little treat, you know, in a little later on in the interview today.
Oh, now, okay. We'll see about that.
I'm putting her on the spot, everybody.
I know,
so you
I
guys,
know.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so these are things that are just, you know, like I said, they're quite remarkable. And all these wonderful things help to shape the experiences that you have,
mm-hmm.
and that you have under your belt, and kind of pushed you towards this wonderful, extraordinary entrepreneur in your own right. And,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to get into that a little bit. So, okay, so you grew up in Arkansas. And then your family kind of moved up north to New York somehow, and you kind of, how did that come into play? And then where did this wonderful inspiration for this wonderful network come from?
Well, you know, my family, no, I'm daring. I'm a risk taker. My mother did not want me to actually go to New York. And but my father, was an adventurer, and
uh-huh.
and you know they were still in Arkansas. I eventually moved to Texas, but
there's a big difference between New York. We're going to be fair
oh,
about it.
Believe
there's
me.
A big difference between you know, New York and Arkansas, especially probably in those days.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the time, you know, I in Stuttgart, Arkansas, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was like first runner-up Miss Teenage Black America for our
wow.
region. Yeah, I my mother put me in pageants, and I ended up singing
wow.
a lot and you know, competitions and things like that. Like
wow.
I said, at that time in high school,
mm-hmm.
there was still segregation, and there was a group called the Ricelanders that I could not audition for because I was black. But
wow.
So I couldn't get in there, but as far as vocally, I could out-sing all of them. I'm not bragging or anything, but like that. But my choir instructor, Jim Sparks, bless his heart, he took me aside and he taught me how to sing. I started out with Billie Holiday songs and things of that nature, and so I just ended up, long story short, doing a lot of stuff, and then ended up getting two or three vocal scholarships to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got a music scholarship, a vocal scholarship, so I went there. I also got offered to go to West Point Academy at the same time, that same year. West Point became like men and women together. It was just men, and they were letting women in because I was also very civically I did a lot of stuff. I was student body vice president and girls state, so I got nominated for a lot of stuff. So I ended up taking the music thing because my family is very music-oriented and all that, and went there, landed the head of musical shows and things like that. I was auditioned for a great a cappella group and got into that. So we ended up going, taking a trip to New York, the theater group I was involved in. I was actually playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and then I was in The Wiz. So I played Dorothy. Wow. I was in Dorothy and The Wiz, so we at the same time we went to New York, I was Dorothy and The Wiz, and Diana Ross was filming Dorothy.
In the movie, that's right?
Yeah, she was filming it, and that's the same year I met her, and we have a family affiliation, the Ross family.
Wow.
And from Detroit, my family on my mother's side is from Detroit, the Rosses, and so they work at Motown and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so I wanted to meet Diana Ross. She was my inspiration. And I ended up coming to New York and on this theater trip and fell in love with New York and did not know how I was going to meet Diana Ross, but I was here and I found my way to Queens, to the studio there with a friend of mine.
Is that the studio in Astoria, Queens?
I found my way to Astoria, Queens, to that studio, and I don't know how I did it, but I told everybody that I wanted to meet Diana Ross, and I took the train there. Never been to Queens before in my life. Got on the train from Arkansas with one of my friends, and we went there to the studio, and she couldn't go in. I was the only one that could come in to meet Ms. Ross. And so I got a chance to meet Diana Ross. I met Sidney Lumet, who's the great famous director.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I met the Michael had just left because he was the Scarecrow. He had left the set. So I didn't meet Michael Jackson, but I met the Tin Man. I met the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael was the Scarecrow. I met the Tin Man. It was, you know, it was really awesome, and it was very inspirational, and she was
so this is when they were actually filming The Wiz.
Filming the movie. Yeah. So
now,
because they called her Diane, and I'm Diane, and our both our middle names,
Wow.
It's just that for me, that was like a highlight of my life. I said, if I can go to New York City and meet Diana Ross, I need to move to
That's
New York.
That's it. Exactly. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now, this is a full circle moment. It's just so amazing to me because one of our guests, who's actually on this week as well, is Hinton Battle, who played, who's I think he's won like three Tonys, maybe more.
Yes.
He played on Broadway in The Wiz.
He
did. The Michael Jackson role was the role that he originated. So shout out to Hinton Battle.
Yeah, hey Hinton, I know Hinton. Hey Hinton, this Peggy called me. Call me.
He is fantastic. So yeah,
he really is.
I'm just blown away that was during that movie. Now, what else was coming to be? It was just released that NBC Television is going to be doing a stage version of, you know, a live program that they're going to be actually, you know, bringing back The Wiz, if you will, for the TV show, a live broadcast. They've been doing these big stage productions recently.
Yeah.
The Wiz is going to get that treatment, and I am excited for anyone to take on that. Now, so your big inspiration, one of your big inspirations, so we know is she's inspired many, many folks, and I've certainly chatted with her daughter, Rhonda, but Barry and Diana Ross's daughter, Rhonda, in the past. But can you tell me, who were some of the others who inspired this great Peggy Dodson? And then we'll get into you.
Oh, my God. I have many people in different genres. You know, Dr. King, It's an inspiration to me. And Reverend Jackson, who I was just with at Wall Street Summit, just, you know,
and
current
hold it.
People.
We don't want to gloss over these wonderful folks and the kind of connections that that you felt with these folks. Now, talk a little bit about that. Let's start with Dr. King. You know, we are actually kicking off this wonderful celebration to Dr. King this week on the Hair Radio Show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. We want you to just kind of weigh in. What has Dr. King meant to you, Peggy Dodson?
Dr. King, what he has meant to me, what he means to me, is the chance to be all that you can be in a place that is equal and just. And I feel that is that was his life, you know, starting with African Americans. And he and the spirit to move forward in all adversities with what you believe in and your faith in God, you know, despite anything, despite anyone, he had his conversation with God, and God spoke to him. And he went ahead despite what anyone said, because what he did had to be done, no matter if he knew that eventually his life, he'd have to forfeit his life here on this earth. But to have that faith and to accomplish, it's almost like what Jesus did, despite what anybody said, he knew that he had to do and fulfill what God meant for him to do. And I feel that we all sometimes get off track, and it's human, and we all get off track on things. But, you know, the one thing that has kept me going in all of this is my faith and me not giving up through all adversity, because this is not for the weak of heart. This industry, whatever we're in, as you know, it is that we have the deck stacked against us as a people. We don't own our images as much as we should. Stories are being told about us that we don't control. And to be able to step up, not maybe against, I won't say against, but to step out with the powers that be out there and say, hey, this is your story, but it's not my story. And to not be fearful in saying that, it takes a lot. It takes faith, because it's very scary. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to let the folks out there know, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest today is Miss Peggy Dodson. Now, she is behind the UBC TV network, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I just wanted to ask you, Reverend Jesse Jackson, now there is a great picture of you and the Reverend Jesse Jackson circulating out there around the internet, and we have that great picture for you, along with a lot of information on you, Ms. Peggy Dodson. So if you guys out there are trying to reach Peggy, you go to hairradio.com, and you'll see all of Peggy's information right there on the screen, along with some great pictures. And I'm told, Peggy, that you have some special words of advice that you are sharing exclusively with the fans of the Hair Radio Show.
Yes, definitely.
So we want to get you guys following our great interview today. Absolutely, this will continue. So you want to go to hairradio.com and read all of that wonderful information on Ms. Peggy Dodson. Now, I'm ready to get into all about the wonderful UBC TV network. So you mentioned that this is a television network, as we just indicated, but what does the UBC stand for?
It stands for Urban Broadcasting Company, which is so weird. It also stands for Uganda Broadcasting. I have a lot of, and, you know, I'm so connected to Uganda. It's weird. It's weird. I love my friends from Uganda, and I have a lot of people from Uganda that actually follow me online, and they love, you know, what I'm doing. I'm very connected to Africa, but especially Uganda. But you know, that's the name of the company. It's Urban Broadcasting. I wanted something named. I didn't want to pigeonhole, and people may say urban does, but it's, for me, it's urban multicultural. It's about culture, and I think that urban has been defined by others or misconstrued as something that it is not. Simply, urban is city, and rural is country. So it's urban means city, life.
Oh, okay,
it's
so urban is not just some euphemism for black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and,
urban
that's what,
is
and that's how people categorize it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it means different things. It can mean different things, but for me, it's about lifestyle. And
uh-huh.
when you look at it, our lifestyle is the lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle is how you live, where you live, and that's
uh-huh.
what UBC is all about. And it embraces culture. So that it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's all us together. I guess you could say that.
I like that. So the U can stand for us. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah,
now, Peggy,
definitely.
Tell us about some of the wonderful projects that you're kicking off at UBC.
Well, I have this has been a labor of love for me. You have to measure and time things correctly. As you know, in this industry, to do a network, it's very expensive, and it's not easy, because once you get out there, you said, oh, okay, I've got 24 hours to fill. Oh, okay, I need advertisers. A lot of my colleagues who are out there now who are just jumped on the
uh-huh.
air recently, it's that they've gotten a lot of gray hair, just by having
and
the stress of doing that.
Yes.
Yes.
I can speak to that
yes.
one.
You know, so my goal is to roll out, to start the digital part, which I have started officially last year. We have a live stream channel where we are getting ready. We have live stream, we have on demand, and we're actually getting ready to do something very special. We're getting ready to put out a whole lineup as far as original productions that we are going to be streaming. As you
wow.
know, streaming is really big right now in NBC, Netflix, everyone's jumping into that world, which for me it's there's still a major cost, because you can't just go out and just do it anyway. You still have to have that broadcast quality to that in order to bring on the advertisers or the sponsors that you want to bring on.
Exactly.
What we're doing is the original productions that we will be either live streaming or streaming will be edited, and then from there we back into cable. So we will have some things will just be totally online, and then some things will be shot for cable TV, which we are rolling out this year, this spring actually. I mean, the date is close, so I've got to watch all over. I'm going to say the date. But we will actually be in about 40 million households, and
wow.
and we'll have channels. We'll have channel positions soon, because I know people want to know that. And I'll be making that announcement. We will be able to be on Time Warner, Comcast, and Dish Network, and DirecTV.
And you'll let us know. You come back and tell all the folks
mm-hmm.
at the Air Radio Show.
Yes,
okay,
most
so
definitely.
We can get an exclusive, guys. You've heard it right here. We're going to hold Peggy to that now.
Okay, that's
okay.
I would definitely do that. It's going to be soon, sooner than later. It's going to be soon, but that's what we're planning on doing, and
mm-hmm.
I'm very, very excited about the lineup that we have. The lineup for the live streaming, of course, is different than the cable. Some of them will overlap. For instance, we
mm-hmm.
have. We have a show called the UBC Mix, which is, I guess you could say, it's almost an evolution of Soul Train. I love, and it's a show I created. A lot of the shows I created, by the way, and
wow.
over years and years of research, years and years of research and marketing and all of that, and TV production and what I've done with NCAA sports, and that's my background, is from live TV. So I love live television. I love dance. I dance a lot. I love house music. I love all types of music. But
wow.
I
well,
love...
Well, you know what, Peggy? I have to say, I'm not to interrupt you at all. I just want you to Absolutely. Let the folks know. And I want to tell everybody out there, they're listening to you and you're giving them this wonderful information. I just want to remind the folks, you're listening to Miss Peggy Dotson, who was our special guest today on the Hair Radio Show. And she's been telling us all about UBC TV Network. Now, I just want to tell all of our Hair Radio Show fans, if you want to find out more about Peggy Dotson, you want to go to her pages and find out how to reach her and find out more about UBC TV Network. We're posting everything at the hairradio.com website. So that's www.hairradio.com. And there you'll see we're going to hopefully, Peggy will put up some more pictures and all of this wonderful, these wonderful things that Peggy's providing just exclusively for our Hair Radio Show fans today. So we are so excited. And we're going to give them all the information. Now, Peggy, great. I have to ask you. Yes, now, we got a little bit into it, but I really want to drive this point home, and I know that you can do it eloquently. Broadcast television seems to be going through a metamorphosis. It seems to be changing in a way. It doesn't look like it used to look. It, you know, there's a whole lot of, you know, flack about it not being more representative of the folks when we go outside our door. So, so individuals are saying that, well, gee, you know what? We don't control broadcasting. And when I say we, I shouldn't speak for folks, but I think what the message is that they feel that the people of color and the people who are representative of the world, the broadcasting doesn't really speak to those folks by and large. However, the internet, the new technology seems to be controlled, so to speak, at this time by the masses. So is there some, you know, big, you know, disconnect between broadcast and internet or technology and streaming and all of that? Is broadcasting changing?
Yeah, it's changing because it has to somewhat. The big disconnect, I mean, that's one of the reasons why YouTube is so big, because you have more control over what you want to see versus what someone else thinks you want to see. And the big problem with broadcast is that it's big.
You don't have any control.
It's
turning,
you know,
your channel.
Well, it's big, so you have large organizations that have different departments that don't even talk to each other. You know, so they don't, and you have people who have major pressure on them to create programs because you have accounting people saying, this is not making any money. You know, it's not really set up. You have big public companies who are dividend driven, and they're not content driven. They're, you know, sports. People understand sports. That's an easy one. Those, the multi-billion-dollar business. Sometimes like Fox, that's what anchors is, one of their big anchors. And then you have American Idol, and then you have a formula. The problem with broadcast and cable too is the formula that's used in calculating what they think people want to see and what individuals go in front of the camera. You have a formula. Oh, you have a formula for a story that is beginning, middle, end, and that is very predictable, but that's what people want because they feel that's what makes money. And then you have a formula for people that you have, maybe if you may have three white people, you may have one black person, you may, it's gotten worse. I don't know. I don't like formulas. I don't even deal with a formula. We're out of the box. My goal is to be able to represent life the way that it is and not contrive it. Even with the reality shows, they're not reality. They're contrived. They're combative. And a lot of the producers do that because they feel they have to create, you know, anger and animosity in order for that, in order for people to watch, and then advertisers sign on, and a part of that is true, but it's not all true, and we're not represented at all, and you know, and the time when we are represented, it's so contrived and controlled and stereotypical. And I mean, there are some shows that I'm not going to say right now. It's just people are. I mean, it's just like, okay, this is a black show. Even with major producers that we know that do film, mm-hmm. that when they get to television, they get into the formula. And they put this and that. Let's put this. Let's put some salt and pepper and some pasta and the this and this. And that's the recipe. And that's and if you don't do that recipe, you don't get on the air. Mm. So that's the problem. There is a big disconnect, and it has to do with culture. It has to do with disconnect with color. It has to do with people who are in positions who feel they think they know who we are and they don't, who don't know the story. But in essence, they know, all they know is that we have the buying power, $1.1 trillion, and they want our eyeballs. They need the eyeballs in order to bring on Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and KFC and McDonald's. I mean, those companies know about our buying power. But the word power, you say.
Yeah, I love that. The word power. That's where all of this and what it all means. And
yeah.
I think that, yeah, and I think you really, you have completely and eloquently stated what I believe is the disconnect. So going forward, we have the folks like yourself, UBC TV Network, Urban Lifestyle Programming, and you're based out of, you're based where? I just want to make sure
I'm,
we hit all of that.
I'm in New York. I'm in New York City.
New York City!
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, in Harlem, which is the urban capital of the world, you know, it's New York City, and we have a new base that we're building in Las Vegas, and I'll talk about that at some point. Yeah, we're going
terrific.
To be doing some really exciting things there with another division of the company. We're based here, but we're a global company. We're looking right now. We have some productions that we're working on, a major reality show with a major celebrity that we're I can't announce it yet. Yes, a
okay,
major
but you
celebrity
promised to come back
that we,
here and
yes,
tell the
we have a major
radio show.
Yeah,
okay.
A major celebrity that we're doing a deal with that we are going to. We're doing a reality show with them. We're going to be following them around, not just here, but we're going overseas. And so that is, you know, that's kind of like what, and some of the programs, the teasers and stuff will be available online. And the rest of it will be on cable. And that's what I like. I like going between, I like the model that I've created because it gives me the flexibility to do things online.
Right, you're not just doing one thing only.
Right, I'm not just stuck to cable, and I'm not just stuck, you know, on one, just online. It gives me the flexibility to go back and forth with a show, actually. You can take part of the show, you can put it online and take another part of it, you can put it on cable. That way you go back and forth and you hit different audiences by that way. And we are a producing network, which is very important. I wanted to say that, even though we are doing partnerships with other producers and production companies, but I am a showrunner and I've created my own originals, and I have a great production manager, Academy Award nominated production manager. He's done everything.
Wow.
Worked with Billy Joel. He knows music, he knows sports, and he's just awesome. So it gives us the ability to be a producing network so that we can actually produce our own originals. We can create the originals, we can produce them and distribute them. And we bring in our own advertising and sponsors and things like that. And I have an agency that I'm also dealing with. But it gives flexibility for creativity, and that's what I wanted because I'm a creative person. I don't want to be in a box where, I'm just a cable network, so I just got to do this. And I love my cable people, or I'm just online, so I just can't do this. No, I love my technology people, so I want both. So it gives us the opportunity to not only create wonderful kind of like reality shows, music events, things of that nature that we have some exciting things planned. I tell you, we are getting ready
excited.
To step out.
You guys are
into
just
the spotlight.
Moving along. Now,
yes.
I do want to ask you, Peggy, being a successful person out there in business, what words could you say to someone who's
trying to follow in the great footsteps that you have trailblazed in terms of broadcasting and setting up your own network and working just all over the country with folks. What words can you say that just might be that great little inspiration that someone needs about now?
There's a couple things. My inspirational words is never give up. My Jewish godfather, who's passed away, Burl Walk, always told me, he says, Peggy, never, ever, ever give up. That is my anthem. The other thing is learn as much as possible about the industry that you're in. Study it, go to trade shows, find mentors in the industry, which is what I've done. I studied this industry. I met people in the industry, just like I did when I was in the music industry. You know, I went to Luther Vandross and I said, Luther, tell me about the industry. This is actually what I did when I moved to New York, and I wanted to to find out about the recording industry, which is a totally different industry just being a singer.
Right.
I mean, people think I'm a singer. I'm not digressing. I mean, I'm a singer. I want to be a great singer. No, if you want to be a professional singer, that means you are in the business of entertainment, so you need to know about that business. And I just went to every person I could talk to and had them tell me about the industry, and that's how you learn. And then you get mentors in that industry that are great people who have high positions. One of my mentors, he's retired now from Fox, is Roland McFarlane, who is the only African-American executive at a high level at Fox in Los Angeles, at Fox TV and Fox Studios. And he adopted me, I adopted him. And I would always ask him questions and ask him, do you think this idea could work? He said, Peggy, go for it. It's going to work because it's needed. So I always have mentors, even to this day, that I go to and to listen to and talk about things. And I see mentors and just research and just never giving up on your dream, but also just being flexible, because what you see now may be a little different than what it really ends up being. I've had to be flexible in my vision with UBC. Like I said, I wanted a network, and now it's UBC. TV network, but it's really just one component of it. We have media, and we have a couple other, we have film. We could talk about the film division. I have a couple other divisions, and we have sports. We have some other things that have branched off, and we're also going to be building studio facilities. So,
So you've got a lot going on, Peggy.
Yes, I do. And we need to talk about the shopping. You know, don't let me forget about that.
That's something
I really want to discuss.
Yes, well, we definitely will. And folks, if you've just joined us, this is a very, very special interview today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a person who is just doing extraordinary things in the way of business and community. The Hair Radio Show is very, very proud to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Peggy, again, welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you.
Now, listen, we've been talking a lot about some of the wonderful business enterprises that you're involved with. And when we talk of UBC TV Network and some of the wonderful programming that we can soon expect, we have to get into the shopping aspect that is about to kick off here on this UBC TV network. So tell our fans out there, tell the show fans about this wonderful idea.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that sometimes I think I'm just totally crazy, but that's all right, because my Jewish godfather said you got to be a little crazy to do this, but The one thing that I see things that are needed, and I try to move to create a solution for that, and that's one of the reasons why UBC has been gestating over the past couple of years, really gestating and getting ready to and slowly rolling out, and people say, "When are you rolling out?" Okay, just wait. I got something I'm working on here. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've always wanted to do, was to create a shopping component to my network, because I wanted to create something where, as I'm not like the other networks where I have to really depend on all the advertisers and sponsors. I want to be able to groom my shows, but I wanted to create additional revenue streams. And that will keep the company going. And that, and so I've actually created Urban Home Shopping Network. It is a part of, it's going to start out as a show, and then we're going to actually evolve to a separate thing. But it is for, it is an urban QVC. It's for small businesses, women-owned businesses, and people of color who want to gain entry into the home shopping network arena. And cannot. I mean, as you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC are, they're starting to cater to smaller businesses because small business is the backbone of this country.
And exactly.
It is the backbone of this country, and people need to really understand right. that. And I want to do my part to help the economy, and in order to do that, and to give opportunities to small businesses who actually want to get their products out on television or distributed globally.
Well,
so
let me just tell you, Peggy Dodson, this is such an extraordinary business that you have launched. So I'm going to just take a quick moment to inform those folks out there, you guys listening right now, that you can go to hairradio.com. And we'll put all of Peggy's contact information there so that we know that you're going to be very much interested in being part of this wonderful, these upcoming projects and some of the things that she's working on now. So you'll just go to hairradio.com, our website, and we have a profile there with Peggy's information and all about how you can contact her to get involved. Peggy, I have to say to you, any final thoughts? You've been such a terrific guest with us on the Hair Radio Show today.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm my final thoughts is I appreciate you taking the, you know, giving me the time to come on here and inviting me. And I know that we could talk for hours because there's so much going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, my final thoughts is, you know, about UBC, go like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We have, if you have any questions about new shows that we have, you know, you're free to contact us as an email address. Or we are looking for, you know, new shows. I am looking for content. And, you know, if you want to join us or whatever, just, you know, like us. And we have all I can say is that we have some very exciting things happening and getting ready to happen. We are going to make a major impact in the marketplace.
Yes, you already are. Now, I have to say, Peggy, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to say that we have a I'm making my step into the film world. We have a major announcement that we'll make later on, but I have a division called UBC Films. And I have been able to acquire major distribution in, you know, through Cinemark, AMC, and Regal Theaters to distribute urban films. And so that's, that cannot take on anything else, but, you know, it's like it's something that has to be done because we need more. As you know, right now people are very upset about Selma and the lack of the lack of diversity, and you know that there has to be more diversity, and I think that's happening. Like I said, Reverend Jackson is making a lot of moves in technology, and to help do that. And but you know, there's only besides my company, there's only one, you know, co-black. There's only, you know, there's very few black-owned companies that distribute films. So we are throwing our hat into the ring, and so we will be doing that. And I have some. That's another division that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks in reference to UBC Films and our, you know, entry into that marketplace of film production also, film production and distribution and funding.
Well,
I actually have a separate funding arm that films urban films. We're looking for films 3 to 5 million up to 20 million. We have funding for you know, anything less, we have to talk about as far as development projects. But we do have, I have a funding arm for that. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we are very excited. I mean, you have so many wonderful, wonderful projects going on, and we're just excited for you. And, you know, so we want to let the folks know that this is going to continue. Go to the hairradio.com website. Peggy is also going to put some special words there for you guys and read all about her and see some of those extraordinary pictures. And we're going to have you back very soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Peggy again, okay. Peggy Dotson of UBC TV Network. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us on today's Hair Radio Show.
Thank you, Carrie. I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Jim McAllister, it is so great to have you back with us right here on the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It is always my pleasure. You come to us all the way from the state of California, sunny old California, 3,000 miles away from me right here in Brooklyn, New York. But again, it's my pleasure to welcome you back this morning. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, it's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And I call you Miss Hey, Hey, Hey. That's
oh,
your tagline. Yeah, right here on the broadcast. So always, always great. Well, listen, I want to kind of talk about this this morning because it goes back. We did such a great, great piece out here on the at-home stylist. And I call that at-home stylist what? So today, it's all about the journey of the at-home stylist. I thought we should do a follow-up to that. It was so popular and such a great topic. And right now, it is current. It is, you know, relative. And it's where we are right now with everything that's kind of going on. So I wanted to kind of lead on off with everything about at-home stylist part two on the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show with my guest, Ms. Keisha McAllister. So again, great topic and great to have you with us. Let's jump on in.
Yes.
Yes. Now, first, can you just tell everybody what is and what or who is an at-home stylist, and how does that differ from someone who is, say, a cosmetologist?
Well, your at-home stylist, Carrie, and thanks for asking, is basically someone at home who, and I'll say I kind of started that way, usually doesn't want to go to the shop or is nervous about going to the shop or doesn't know about going to the shop or the salon. And so they tend to use the options that are either in your grocery store, in your department store. You know, they have products for us everywhere, plus the beauty supply and things like that. So a lot of times these will be, a lot of times they'll be women. I do, you know, they'll be women with lots of aunts or, you know, or sisters or cousins and things like that. And it's, it tends to be a big group of women. And there's usually a braider in there. And then there's someone who can press hair. And then you have someone who understands relaxing or straightening hair. So, and then they just kind of switch up with whatever style is going on. I remember my aunt used to do her own hair in the kitchen, and she would relax it and then put some bleach patches on it.
Man.
I know, but this was like 1983, you know,
Ooh,
so there was a lot going on.
Right. It was a different world then, yeah.
Definitely. But that is the kitchen beautician. But most times they actually start off as a braider a lot of times.
And that's how they kind of get comfortable with the idea and notion of doing hair in the home. Now, a lot of that these days has been where the stylist, the at-home stylist, is performing hair care services in their own home or going out and literally visiting the home of the client, of their customer. And I just, I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, I remember back in the day when we kind of came along in the 90s with this broadcast. The folks were scared to do hair, so to speak, and I'm in the Northeast, you know, doing it at home. You know, the state board, everybody was afraid of the, you know, getting in trouble back then. But that was long before there was a such thing as the internet, which shook up everything,
right,
in my opinion. So the at-home stylist, is this someone who is now a lot more comfortable with the notion and the idea of performing these services at home or in a home-based type situation, unlike the days of the past, way back when? What do you say, Keisha? Any opinion on that?
Well, I will say this. I think you do have there are a lot of people who are comfortable doing hair at home, especially now with the internet. and being able to go on, you know, multitude of social media and learn something or see something. And you have some people that are at home who are naturally gifted with their hands, and they don't need to watch a video. They can just see the pattern and make it happen. So what I say about, and I've been like I said, I grew up as a kitchen beautician.
A kitchenician, we say.
A kitchenician in the East Coast. I call a kitchen beautician, but and here in in my area, at one point, I had actually worked out of my home as a licensed stylist.
We're not saying to do this,
but as a licensed beautician, stylist, I did it out of my home, and and at one point I was doing house calls because I had to, and I was working in the salon, but I was taking care of family, so it took a lot to make things happen, and I was working in all sorts of places. Even in my own space, right? So you do have some people who are more comfortable with being at home or have been in the salon and then take, you know, they do a setup and they're able to get something approved by the city. Just depends on, you know, their building permits and things like that.
And where you are.
Whatever city that, right, and where you are. So
exactly.
That's what you need to, but the main thing is to be like, to be licensed.
Right, that should be the goal,
the ideal goal.
And listen, folks, you know, this is a big topic. And first of all, Keisha, I appreciate that you're so forthright, you know, and to be honest, because a lot of folks will not admit or perhaps may not be so forthcoming about starting off as an at-home stylist. And so, you know, there's no shame or any of that. I think that you're speaking to a vast majority of hair people who began doing hair organically as a youngster. So thank you. And you're doing, you know, and you're leading the charge. Now, why was it so important to you to shift from being an at-home hairstylist and being unlicensed to becoming and pursuing getting your license? Was that important to you, and why did you do it?
Well, actually, it was very important. It was important to me, but I was afraid to do it. I had actually worked a regular 9-to-5 job, but had been doing hair since I was 15. So when I finally decided to go for my license, I actually started as an apprentice in the salon, and it wasn't from an apprenticeship from a school. It was an apprenticeship from the state of California bar. I mean, you know, cosmetology. Barbering and cosmetology, right, board. And we had to basically go to class once a week and then work in the salon. And you learn, I learned a lot, but the one thing that my clients, because I had a whole bunch of at-home clients, they, you know, just from everywhere, they would see people walking down the street, who did your hair, you know? And I was still working my regular day job, and I had friends saying, Keisha, go get your license. Just go get it. It's okay. Just go get it. And I'm like, I'm used to punching the clock. I'm used to doing this. You know, I'm used to doing that. But once I made the move, I moved into something that has always given me peace and joy. And I can do it for free, or I can do it for $1 million. I can do it sick or well. So it, once you get into something that you feel that is a part of you, not just a piece of you, but definitely a part of you, then it becomes very important to complete it. Now, what you do with it after that is up to you, but at least go experience it, and if you, and then find out if this is your full-time thing, you know, your purpose. And I feel like my purpose is to help fulfill beautiful. No matter how you walked in, if you get to look fly when you walk out. And feel good about yourself. Yeah.
And feel good about yourself. I love it.
Definitely.
Now, Keisha, what were some of the challenges when you did make that jump from being an at-home stylist to being licensed? Were there any challenges?
You know what the main challenge was? Not to gossip.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Really?
Not to gossip because I had... Yes, they're really well. It wasn't the internet back then. It was regular folks. It was everything. You know, all the people we knew. And if I was going to do that full time,
if you want things to get around, tell a hairstylist. You'll remember. Oh God!
You know
what? That was big out here saying that.
No, I've never heard that. But
okay.
I believe that.
Don't kill me, my friend.
No. Okay. I believe it because it takes you to change your mind.
Mm.
So you don't get into that, you know, the reputation or the what's the word I want to use?
What?
The thought that that being a hairstylist is about gossiping and popping guns.
Oh, right, the stereotype.
You know,
the
stereotype. Thank you. And it's not about the stereotype. It's definitely about the passion and the love and the purpose of doing this thing. Definitely. Yeah, so gossiping was the main thing I had to stop doing.
Yeah. That's a big part of the thing. Even when I write a play, and I guess I'm kind of somewhat guilty of it. I'm releasing our play out there on the Salon. And whenever we, you know, do that, we are feeding into a lot of the stereotypes with our little characterizations of the stars. That just comes with the territory.
Definitely.
But I think that's a good thing, too. And it can be entertaining. As long as it doesn't go too far.
Yeah, the thing is that I'm not going to be the one to gossip. So I don't care if anybody else is around.
Like
I'm not grabbing.
Now, you ain't heard it from me, but.
No. No, I will say it that way. You ain't heard it from me, but.
Listen, guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines in Brooklyn, New York. My very special guest today is someone who you guys have gotten to know really, really, really well. Here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. She comes to us from 3,000 miles away. And she's what I like to say, one of our famous Keishas. We have so many who are on the show, and everybody's Keisha. But you're Keisha McAllister from Fairfield, California. I want to say up north in the northern part of the state. And you have done quite a few things with us on our Ask a Hairstylist specials. And Ask a Stylist specials we've had right here on the show, where we have kind of fielded your questions out there, guys. And Keisha's been really great and responding without knowing the subject matter in advance. So you've always done a great job. Yeah. And today it's been about, it really is, it's about doing our wonderful part two about Ask a Hairstylist. So I am so excited to have you with us on the show today. It really is quite amazing. So real, real nice. Now, Keisha, I just wanted to, before we go, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the things that you're looking for, just to kind of revisit them, because it's been a while since we've chatted and had a chance to chat with you on this level. But what are some of your long-term goals? Where would you like to see? What's the end game, so to speak, professionally for Keisha McAllister?
Well, I would like to travel the world, go globally and do mortuary work. I want to do, I want to be ordered for the departed with hair and makeup. Yeah. That's one thing I like to do. I mean, now that I'm getting older and my body's all the wear and tear on my shoulders and all that other stuff and my leg or my ankle or whatever, to get into a space where I can still help family, you know, put their loved one away or say goodbye while they and help their loved one look like themselves. That's the main thing.
Just an extension of using your gifts to help a family at a very difficult time.
For your loved one not to look like themselves is a hard, that's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. And I've experienced it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We've been there. We all know what that's like. Well, listen, Keisha McAllister, I'm so happy to have you with us on the show, and we're just going to keep on continuing. I want to remind folks that you've been with us. You're one of our great hairstylists that's associated with the Hair Radio Morning Show. The next big thing for all of us is to put this big panel together for all of our friends who are everywhere along the spectrum. So I can't wait. Now, I do want to ask you, what are your thoughts about AfroLock Magazine? You know it's coming out very soon, if it isn't already out for you guys. What do you want to say about the idea of us now having a magazine that's devoted to Black culture? So what does that mean to you, Keisha McAllister?
Well, it means a lot, Carrie, definitely, because I came up in a time where, you know, we had Essence and Ebony and all that. But to see, but in those magazines were different types of beauty, you know, perspectives. Granted, you know, lifestyle and all that. But for AfroLock, I'm excited because it not only is a representation or represents us as a culture, as a people, but it also will give those even with that maybe biracial who have Afro hair, multiracial who have Afro hair and have to deal with different textures and things like that.
Yeah.
It'll definitely give them a place to go, but mainly it's beautiful to see beautiful, you know, beautiful Afro hair on the cover, through the magazine, through the pages or whatever. It's a beautiful thing. I'm definitely looking forward to the premiere.
And we're hoping you will continue on your journey and be a big part of AfroLock Magazine. So thank you for that. Great words of encouragement. Okay, so we're going to continue to make sure, and you guys can follow Keisha right here at our wonderful website at HAIRadio.com. Keisha McAllister, we are all big fans of yours. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to be checking in with you real soon. I'm excited. All right, folks. Stay with us. We got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's Keisha McAllister. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Keep it right here, because your hair speaks volumes.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby.
It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. Thank you, Purple Barbie. It is Tuesday morning, October 17th, 2023, and yes, we are live. I'm Terry Hines out of Brooklyn, New York. It is so great to have you with us. Here it's a little on the cool side in the 50s, the very low 50s, expecting a high end as I get up to about the close to the mid-60s today, so real excited about that. Hey, want to bring to the line Mr. Michael Hopkins. You know him very, very well. He is the king of claims, we're going to call him. You guys know his show comes on today at about 8:30 Eastern. It's the third and final part of a series that he's going to tell us all about. And we're just really, really happy. Every Tuesday, we kind of really get this going with Michael from Spotsylvania, Virginia. Let me see if I can get him to the line. Michael Hopkins, are you there this morning?
Yes, I am.
What? All right. Good to have you with us, Michael. How are you today? We're happy.
Oh, yes. Great, Carrie Hines. Down here in beautiful
Spotsylvania, Virginia. Yes.
Oh,
I
am
so excited. Yeah, we, you know, want to talk a little bit to the listeners out there, particularly our fans who have been asking about the magazine, who've been asking about the website, who've been asking about what's going on at Hair Radio. And I just want to be able to, as always, bring the news directly to the fans of the broadcast. So you tune in, you'll know what's going on. Which is really important. First, let me just go back a little bit again and say thank you so much for tuning in. And it's been a little bit of a time of influx, if you will. We've been trying to test out new things and all of that. And sometimes that's great and sometimes not so great. But in all times, you learn from what you're attempting to do. And so I just want to say thank you so much for bearing with us during this time. Afrolock Magazine will be back. It will be back bigger, better than ever, and more beautiful, if that's even possible. And so you guys have made it clear you want your Afrolock. And so we're going to give it to you. So we will be working on a new edition of Afrolock Magazine. We'll keep you posted. Also, our site. It's come to my understanding that, you know, is it a financial burden? Yes, it's a lot to work within all of these programs that allow us to do what we do, to bring you guys. You have come to expect of us, which is beauty, excellence,
and just great hard work. Well, it costs money. It costs money. And everything has increased, and we have to follow suit, even though I've been reluctant to do so, running the company. But this is where we are. This is the new order of the day globally for everybody. And so I just wanted to put that on out there that we will be back online. Apparently that's a part of who we are. And so we'll keep you informed of some differences. But I also want to say that we are dedicated to making sure that our platform, such as the Salon TV Network, is expanded upon, and Afrolock Magazine continues to grow. And so these are things that we need. Okay, Mike. I don't know what the background. Check your mic there, Michael, please. Okay, it's a whole bunch of noise coming out. So these are things that we have got to work on as a team and as a family. So we'll keep you posted, folks, on all of that. So, Michael, let's kind of talk a little bit about Vet Talk Radio and what folks can expect to hear today. So, again, good morning, and we'll keep you informed of all of the updates and all of that.
Oh, okay, great. Great. We're going to be doing the third part in our series with Vet Talk, and we're going to be talking about secondary claims and the importance of secondary claims is the significance of rateable secondary claims. That's
okay.
What we're going to be talking about today.
Okay, so this will be part three. Listen, what you want to do is definitely tune in at about 8:30 this morning, so that you can hear this. This is Michael's, about your fourth outing, I believe, of the Vet Talk. This is your third season, Michael, that we are kind of just getting
right,
underway.
Right, very much so.
Significant.
This is the third season. Very
yes,
much so.
The significance of the secondary claims, part three, which is really great. And the other two, just awesome. Now, if you didn't catch parts one and two, you can still follow right on along just by tuning in today at about, again, 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 for those who are out in the Central Time Zone. Again, this is really great and very, very helpful. Again, I don't know where else you can find out things like this, but you don't want to miss this update coming up at about 8:30 this morning, right here. You don't have to change the dial or go to a different number or go out and in or any of that stuff. It'll just roll right on in at about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central Time. So, Michael, what can you say? Are you excited about this and the whole series? How has it been received?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited. And the whole series has been received very well. Once
yeah.
again, Carrie, these are a lot of things that a lot of veterans don't know about. They never explored the possibilities of secondaries. Most of the time with most vets, we only think in terms of the primary things that happen to us while we were on active duty. And that's kind of what we've been led to believe in this claims process, that the file for everything that you think happened to you while you're on active duty, and I've heard several people that help veterans file for claims, this is what they tell veterans to do. Oh, don't worry about what it is, just file for it. If it happened on active duty, not understanding, Carrie, that one, everything that happened to you on active duty is not necessarily something you can file for, because there are other things that constitute filing for a claim. In other episodes, we'll get back into that. But
wow.
The secondaries,
well, Michael,
are so, yes.
Yes, they are so critical. And again, these are things that the veterans are just unaware of. I can just
very
say that
so.
Because it would make sense. Yeah, and it's not really the fault so much of the veterans, and that's why this is so
no,
important.
No, it's not.
Right, Michael? I want to make
no,
sure
no,
I speak
yeah.
to them.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's not the veterans' fault, Carrie. We have never been taught, at least a lot of the veterans from past decades
in
of serving in the military, we never
right.
have been taught how to properly file for a claim. We're always
wow,
told.
My
yeah, we've never been taught, Carrie. Yeah,
that's
but we're
huge.
Always taught to go to somebody else and get help in filing for a claim. It's never
now,
emphasized
Michael, let me ask you on that. And this is putting you on the spot a little bit. As an accredited claims agent, I call an ACA, where this is something that is you're charged through the Veterans Administration to assist the veterans. You're
very much
veterans,
so, Carrie.
Okay.
Very
well,
much
Michael,
so.
But are there lots of videos that tell them exactly? I mean, in this day and age, we have videos that tell you everything, how to get out of bed.
Right.
So are there that, you know, videos that, you know, because it's not impossible to make step-by-step videos, whether they're things that you have to fill in on a form or go online. There's step-by-step videos and ways to construct those. Is that what already exists? Or what is it, what exactly, why is there a disconnect between what the veterans seem to be understanding and what is actually being done by the VA?
Well, Karen, that is a great question. That's a great question. And yes, it is quite true. There are, I mean, it's YouTube. You could YouTube yourself into getting 100% permanent and total. You could do that as a veteran. You literally watch all different YouTubes, different subjects. There are Facebook groups out there. There are organizations. There are all kinds of things going on. Unfortunately, with some of our veterans, there is a disconnect, technology disconnect, Carrie. That's what happened. There's a technology disconnect. You have some veterans that are not really up to speed with this technology. They're just not. And it depends sometimes on the era that they served in. And prior, you know, in prior years, there was not this much abundance of information for veterans. It just wasn't there. It was a word of mouth thing. It was a kind of hit or miss type thing also too. And, you know, quite frankly, Carrie, sometimes the VA itself was not very kind to veterans back years in the past, unfortunately.
Wow.
It's very unfortunate, but that's what happened to a lot of veterans. So a lot of the veterans have kind of a disdain with the VA and the whole in the claims process, even the medical process, going to the VA hospital. They had some hiccups, like, is a good word to say, and it turned them off with the VA, the whole VA process. So it's just been in recent years, it's gotten better for veterans in the claims process. You know, Carrie, a perfect example of it getting a lot better was the PACT Act of 2022.
Yes, I remember that.
When President Biden,
you guys have to remember, it was all over the TV.
It was all over the news media, and veterans were very happy because this was a comprehensive bill that helped a lot of veterans. It's continuing to help a lot of veterans. I've helped veterans file for claims under the PACT Act. It touches two main groups. It touches veterans who served in the combat theater of Southeast Asia, better known as Vietnam. It also tags on a lot of the other countries surrounding Vietnam that veterans signed up and went off to war. And it also touches on some of the after effects of that war. A lot of people don't know that there were aircraft that was used to spray Agent Orange, and that was one of the chemicals or herbicides that was used throughout the Vietnam War, and it caused lasting effects to veterans. To this day, there are veterans that have lasting effects from the herbicide, and for years and years, there were certain things about those herbicides that the general public, or i.e. the veterans, did not know until recently.
And the veterans might, you know, shouldn't feel badly about it because
thing. They shouldn't.
I believe, as a veteran, I'm sure you're trusting what you believe to be safe. It just wouldn't even occur to me to think that something that herbicide is something that kills plants. That's literally what it means. And so that there could be something that harm could be emanating from this. I would just never think of that. And I certainly wouldn't be able to make the jump that if I'm not feeling well, oh, it's the herbicide.
You and you're right, Carrie. So and that's what happened to a lot of the veterans. You know, we trusted our leadership. They tell you this thing is safe. Just go ahead and spray it, and it's denying the enemy, you know, the food and all this good stuff. And then you find out 50 years later, the truth comes out. It wasn't safe. On the other hand, then there was Southwest Asia, and that encompasses places like when the veterans served in the Gulf War, they served in Iraq, Afghanistan, nations, and they were burn pits. That's one of the things with the burn pits, and a lot of people don't.
That, to me, is huge because a lot of folks, like
very
you said, Michael, they don't realize it, right? Who's going to think that, you know, by burning items or burning debris or who knows what, that this could, you know, release harmful toxins.
Right. Very much so.
You know, so we're going to, Michael, I thank you for allowing us to kind of delve into it. I know this is a bonus vet talk.
Yes, it is.
But I always want to share with everybody. And again, your show, the Vet Talk Radio Show, airs Tuesday mornings. You'll be airing right here this morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central for the next edition. And I can't wait. Again, today, the significance of the secondary claims. It's the third part and final part in your series. And then you'll be on to new topics each Tuesday morning with all kinds of different things. Some you may be familiar with, and you'll be kind of revisiting those, and others, it's a whole bunch of new stuff and new interviews. I can't wait to hear some of this, Michael.
Oh, very exciting. Much so, Karen. Very much. It's really exciting.
Really good stuff.
Yes.
And we're coming along okay. So, Michael, we got a big morning ahead. I've got a ton of updates.
that I'll get into it about maybe about 8 or so in the next hour. We have, again, I kind of wanted everybody to be abreast of things, and we appreciate you tuning in to the broadcast. And let's take a little bit of a break. We'll be back. We've got so much to go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Michael, yeah, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Good job.
Everybody, this is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Your love, Jesus, and I'm poor.
Your love,
your
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have with us a very, very special legendary artist. Her name is C.C. Pennison. Let's welcome Ms. C.C. Pennison to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Hi, C.C.
Hey. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, how are you is the bigger question, Miss Superstar out there. Really?
Thank
wow.
you. I am blessed. Yes, thank you.
Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Now, you are obviously a legendary artist. You've got many hits out there that we're all familiar with. But what are some of the current songs that are out there? And I want to talk about one in particular, but you go ahead. Tell us some of these wonderful current hits that are hitting the airwaves.
Oh, I'm so blessed to just have, like, I just had a song come out at the probably the end of 2014, which is called Nothing Can Stop Me Now. Did top 25 on the radio, and people are still, like, we did a video for it, and it's still got life. It's still kind of, like, moving out there. People are like, oh, that's, you know, I love the song, and the great thing about it is where I'm at in my life, and it's funny because recently someone sent me a link to these two little girls singing, Nothing Can Stop Me Now. I was like, oh, my God, that's so cute. I thought it was so precious. They were, you know, little kids sing. It was just adorable.
Right.
And then I did Sick, which is a, it's a song with Paris Teen. I did a cameo. I'm doing, like, a themed album with him. Like, I'm a featured artist on this whole project with him. So that's on iTunes as well. And then I had another project come out, For the Love of You. It's with Ashton Gray. It's on iTunes now. And it's a remake of the Isley Brothers song. And it's like a jazz vibe. So people get to hear a little bit what's going on with CC. Oh, and then Marcy Schultz did a remix of Make You Fall. And he's an EDM artist. So I'm just kind of all over the place. But I feel like, hey, might be a pop.
But this sounds wonderful to me. I agree with you. Now, and you know, like you mentioned about Nothing Can Stop Me, and that's what really caught my attention because of the words in the song and the meaning behind it. How can, you know, everybody can relate to not letting anything stop them. So,
I agree.
You know, yeah, so the inspiration that you find, I'm sure, with performing it. How is that connected with the folks out there who are listening, your fans?
You know what? The good thing is I'm moving into doing more live band shows, which I love. In fact, I have a show come up in Amsterdam that I'm doing fraternity with. And then I have a show with Sinbad and the Whispers coming up in D.C. So the good thing is they get to hear a different side of CC, so many different sides. I feel like people always tell you what you should be doing, and then there's what you want to do. And I'm on what you want to do.
I love
And because I feel like I like giving the unexpected. Just when you think you have me tagged, then I do something different, which brings me to my next thing that I want to tell you about. I was recently in the studio with Calvin Richardson, and we did a duet together, and it's called We Were Meant to Be. I'm looking on putting on finishing touches on that, so that should be out soon as well. And I know that's probably like, okay, wait a minute. We have the queen of dancers, what they used to call me.
Yeah.
Which I still feel like I embody so many different things. And then you have the prince of R&B, which is him.
Yes. Well, I mean, you are known as one of the most successful dance artists in the world, really, since, Billboard, you know, is keeping track of this. So that's really an amazing feat. And you're someone who you do a lot of collaborations with other great artists out there like that. I just think it's fantastic, and it's a treat for all of us who are fans of yours. So it's just a fantastic thing. Okay,
Thank you so much. I'm doing it.
Speaking of which, now you have worked with Patty, you know, and you've got to tell us, CeCe, who are some of those? And we got a whole bunch of wonderful things to ask you, but. Who are some of those influences that, you know, like I said, you work with Patti LaBelle and some of the other great artists out there, but who are some of the influences for you in the music business?
She's the biggest influence for me, but I absolutely love Luther Vandross, Angela Winbush. When I was young, I used to sing her song Angel all the time. Angel! That was my cut, okay?
Yeah.
Remember that song? Well, I used to sing
that
all the time. What else? Shaka Khan, one of my other favorites.
Shaka. Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's an undeniable voice. You already get it.
Right, absolutely. And always, and these are artists, everybody that you named has been someone who's been able to you know, they have a very long career, and they are able to transform and kind of just keep on growing with their music and their projects and everything that they're doing. So, and I see you fitting into that, obviously, you know,
Thank you. Into that category.
So, absolutely. Now, speaking of which, and early, you know, and kind of getting your start, I know that you're, well, we know you're from Ohio, but we know that you were born, I mean, that you were raised out in Arizona, I believe.
Yes.
So, yeah, tell us about that. How did you make it from Arizona to, like, an international superstar? How did you get from there? What, you know, what was that big break for you that really kind of made things click and happen?
It's so funny because when I first started doing music, I had this guy that was going to come manage me, right? And I said, Mom, we don't need him. I said, we don't need him, Mom. I said, you know what? God can do it. And I just knew what my destiny was. And that's just really being real. Like, I always knew what I wanted to do and where I was going. I mean, since I was, like, 13 years old, I remember I used to tell her, like, hey, I'm going to be famous one day. You know, she didn't believe me. And just as I got older, I wouldn't, like, let anybody impede upon what I thought my dream was. And so what happened was I did, you know, background vocals for another artist, Overweight Pooch, who was on A&M at the time. They heard my vocals. They loved them. They said, okay, what else do you have, which was Finally. And then it just went from there.
Exactly. And Finally just made you into an international superstar. And the song went multi-platinum, obviously. Just a phenomenal. Yeah, just a great song that we still, to this day, dance to when we hear it. You know, that to me is the greatest testament of a great song. You know, one that, you know, obviously stands the test of time, but still gets people to the dance floor.
Mom, that's such a blessing for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I hear, like, people's stories like, oh, I you know, I met my boyfriend on your song, or I used your song at my wedding. I mean, that's, like, the thing that makes me, like, really smile, because I know that I've brought joy to other people's lives, as I've heard other artists and musicians that have brought joy to my life as well and caused memories for me.
Wow. Well, listen, I've got to ask you about some of the other current projects, and I know that you are working on. But I thought I read something that said you competed something. What is going on, Cece? You've got to tell us. Now, you competed in some kind of a competition. Tell us about that.
Yes, absolutely. I felt like at 45, I wanted to, like, really get myself in shape. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to compete. I kept saying, I want to compete. I want to do this and that. And I said, do it. I said, just don't talk about it. Be about it. Let's go. And so what I did is I put it out on social media and everything. And so what happens is that holds you accountable. So I held myself accountable with, you know, putting it out there. And then I just did it. And the first dates that I have, I actually couldn't fulfill because I was on the road so much and I didn't feel like I was ready. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to have to do it. So I'm going to, like, I'm gonna go to the next level with it by, you know, just pushing the date back. I said, okay, they'll let you do it one time. I said, just to make sure you're ready. I said, but not twice. So I knew I had to stick to that date. So I stuck to it. I competed, and I think it was the best thing, like, I ever did. In fact, when people came to the show, they were like, I thought you was playing. They were like, I thought you was just talking. They're like, you really did it. And I was like, well, thank you. I was like, no, I sure wasn't. I wasn't just talking. I was like, I, you know, I did it. So now I'm actually working on doing another one.
Wow.
I don't know when, but I'm working on another one.
Will you let us know when that happens?
I sure will. I'm going to put it out there. If people look on my social media, then they can see, like, my journey from doing it.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, I'm just, well, you're inspiring to so many, but this is a different way to inspire people that, you know, isn't that just fantastic? I mean, it's so important these days. And just, you know, what else can you say about that?
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Now, Cece, I want to talk about some of the next, well, actually, the upcoming project that you have. What's next on the plate for you? What's something that you want to do that you haven't really done, or something that you're interested in doing? Anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, what people don't know is I'm actually working on, from doing the contest, a friend of mine was talking to me. It was like,
hey, you know, I showed her these bathing suits that I had done, and I was in the contest, and she was like, you know what, you should do a bathing suit line. And I was like,
a bathing suit? Really? Well, I mean, we can
yes.
see that you definitely can do that, but but tell us about that.
Actually, I was like, bad. I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do that. So I decided I was going to do it. I had gotten all the fabrics. I had my girl get some fabric. She was actually one of the girls that made the bathing suits for the actual contest for me. And I was like, hey, I was like, how do you feel about doing a bathing suit line? And I said, would you be open? And she was like, sure. And I was like, well, bet. Let's do it then. So we decided to do it. And here we are. And I've got already probably about like 15 samples. I'm doing jewelry. I'm doing like these little over, you know, I'm doing like I do these mink shoes. That got me started, you know, doing that just off of
really?
Doing the other thing. Yeah, I wore them out. People were like, oh, my God, those are hot. I've never seen anything like that. So it's like
wow.
that has spurred into other things I'm doing fashion-wise.
Well, now, Cece, so how do people get some of these wonderful things? And we got to tell them how we get this wonderful music and how we, you know, how they can buy your bathing suits and, you know, all of that. And
well,
we know
right
you're going to keep people posted on things.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, I'm still in the middle of doing all the samples for everything. But I will be putting up information on the website as soon as I'm done. I'm also going to be doing fashion shows, so people will have a chance to view everything.
Wow. And your site, let me just make sure folks are aware. What's your website so people can always go there and check it out?
Sure. It's www.ccpeniston.com. And then I also have an Instagram. I have the official Cece Peniston Facebook fan page. And then I have my Twitter, which is Cece_Peniston. So they'll be able to catch up with me on all those sites. And, oh, I forgot to tell you this, too. I'm getting ready to do a reality show, but I can't tell you which one it is yet. Because I haven't got a contract yet. I was like, see, they got to go contract first.
I hear you. Trust me, I understand. But you promise after you do that to certainly give us a call, you know, and let us know. We'd be happy to share that with all the fans out there. We'll set up a fan page at Hair Radio, so you can go to the hairradio.com site, and we'll connect you certainly with a lot of Cece's wonderful information as well. I think this is great. Now, I thought I saw something about an energy drink. You got to tell us about this. I mean, I know you're, you know, fitness expert now, but you got to tell us about the energy drink.
Actually, it's a beer and an energy drink that I'm working on. I'm going to contract for that as well. It's called Chi.
Okay.
And I can't wait to, you know, put it out there.
Yeah.
People will see more about that as soon as we get all the campaign for that together. So I'm doing that
wonderful.
As well. And a national commercial.
Yes. What's this on?
So,
what's the commercial on?
It's on, I've seen it on a lot on TBS and Element. It's international, it's just different stations. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it'll be on and the girl singing my song. I'm like, oh, snap, she's singing my song.
Wow.
You know?
That is just fantastic. Well, folks, if you have just joined us, you're listening to the Hit Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have with us an international music superstar, Miss Cece Peniston. And I want to take a moment and welcome you again to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Cece.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I have to ask you about today's crop of artists. I don't even want to say crop because that sounds so horrible. But the artists, the music, the folks out there today, you know, a lot of the new generation of entertainers. What are your thoughts when you see so much and through social media that just didn't exist not all that long ago? What are your thoughts on the new generation of singers that are out there? How do you feel about them and the business in general?
I think there's some good singers as well as there was in the 90s, but I just feel like there was more authentic singers in the 90s. Not a lot of auto-tune. It was like, get up on the stage and do it. Like, we ain't going to do shenanigans. Like, people in the generation of the 90s, they weren't trying to hear that anyway. They're like, let me see what they can do.
Very true. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's one of those type of things. So, I feel like there's also good points to this
like put it like this, the record, the artist can be the record company now, which is different than the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different
Well, the distribution methods alone is just phenomenal. Now you have an opportunity to, you know, you don't necessarily have to go 100% the traditional way to get things out there. But I think it's easier, but you tell me, is it much easier now, or is it, you know, do you like it better now, or maybe, you know, as opposed to when you started, how do you feel about that?
I don't think it's much easier now. Because I feel like, there's so many different artists that you don't know who's what. What's what sometimes. I think it makes it more difficult, to be honest with you. But I also feel like, you know, there's more opportunity for the artists to make money. There's also, you know, because they can see what actually is in their account without, you know, cutting the record company out, but then in some ways it doesn't work because they don't have the budgeting and marketing or the relationship, which is different. You know what I'm saying? So there's good and bad to it.
And bad.
You know what I'm saying? And
through streaming,
a lot of artists are losing money as well.
Wow. Well, we have to, obviously the artists who are coming up, consider you to be a mentor and they're looking to you for advice. So, you know, you can tell people like no one else can, you know. Is there one thing in particular that you kind of tell people? Do you just want, you know, in terms of inspiration, to just hang in there? I mean, what words do you pass along to these artists who are trying to, you know?
The words that I can pass along is I tell people, don't let anyone speak anything over you. People always want to say, oh, I wouldn't do that, or I don't know if you should do that. Well, that's you. My journey is my journey, and people have to be allowed to have the journey that they want to have. So if you have a dream, be intentional with it, and even through the good or bad, or don't let anyone throw doubt in your head. Just move full speed ahead.
Wow.
People are good at that.
On that note, I want to say yes. Thank you, Cece Peniston. Now, Nothing Can Stop Me, Love Don't Take Over, and some of the other songs, and Sick, of course, and you have some.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Fuzzies in there. I'm tripping. That was Love Don't Take Over, which was great. Let me say a little something about that. Is I was so blessed to have a record from Frankie Knuckles, like, right before he passed. So that's another one, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So these are great songs that are out there, and they can find your music, obviously. Of course, they can go to the site and go, and also on iTunes and all of that. Or did you have okay. Well, listen, I want to say, and I myself, okay, here's my moment to give my Cece Peniston moment, okay? And I want to just say thank you so much because, guys, when I launched and started in this wonderful career of broadcasting, we're not going to say exactly how long ago it was. It's been a been a minute. But what I want to say is that Cece Peniston was, you were one of the first artists to just, you know, come there and, and be interviewed. And we had like one mic and a three-story walk-up to my production office back in Newark, New Jersey many years ago. And you were just so kind and gracious and just wonderful, you know, and beautiful outside. But also your inside was right there. And I just want to say thank you so much because you helped and inspired me. And we went on to so many wonderful, talented other artists who have been on our shows and have continued to support us. So I wanted to say thank you for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on. It's like those support over the years like really helps me as well. So as an artist to have people in my corner. So thank you.
You got it. Cece, any last thoughts on anything today or anybody you want to shout out to?
I want to just give a shout out to my team, people that have helped me to get where I am, because I feel like it takes an army of people to make the movement happen. My publicist, Jackie, AJ, Angelique, just Frank, just everybody, I call it real Craig, Dion. You know, Cynthia, I have so many people that are in my corner and helping me, so I just want to give that shout out. I want to tell people, continue to follow your dreams, and if you fall on your back, so you're always looking forward, and thank you for your love and support.
All right. Well, listen, you do have a great team, and on that note, I want to thank Ms. Cece Peniston for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we wish you all the continued success. You just keep on doing what you're doing out there.
Nothing can stop
you. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, folks. Stay with us. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Stay with us. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide and the longest-running hair and beauty radio show.
I am an endangered species, but I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs.
All right, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have with us one of our program's longest running supporters. We're talking about the amazing Miss Regina. Again, good morning, Regina. Yes, now you're out on location in New York City.
Yes, I am.
A makeup event. Yes, can you tell us a little bit? You're at the Duke of Javits Center live this morning. What's happening at the event? What do you see?
Well, it's very busy. There's a lot of people. It's called the Makeup in New York Skincare and Makeup Exploration event.
Okay. It's an event for makeup artists and people in the industry?
Yes, it is for people in the industry. It's also open to some people who are do makeup or like to wear makeup. It's open to,
okay.
Not open to,
well,
the public.
That sounds absolutely awesome.
Okay. Yes.
Now, have you had a chance to talk to any of the vendors, the merchants there? Are there a lot of them?
There's a lot of vendors. There's a lot of vendors. And, you know, there are a lot of them from Europe, from Paris.
Okay, so
and
a lot of Europeans.
A lot of Europeans, a lot of people from different countries. So it's a good event. It's attended well.
Good.
Very attended well.
Awesome. Now you don't have a whole big turnout of African Americans so much.
You don't have a big turnout like that. But it's a good sized turnout. The people are still coming.
Okay. So you may end up getting some. Okay, so it looks like it's fun. What else is going on there? Do they have, like, show, you know, is there, like, a main stage or anything like that?
Well, I don't see a main stage yet. There's conference rooms, trend areas, and I don't see a main stage as yet.
Do you see anybody doing a makeup demonstration or anything like that?
No, to be perfectly honest, I don't see people doing makeup and demonstrations. I just see people
in the
walking
world
to people. I know. I don't see any. It's not a huge show.
It's a little different. Well, listen. That's the whole idea, is that the Hair Radio Morning Show is on the set. We are there, just in case.
Right.
And we want to bring the latest to our listeners. So we appreciate you going all the way to the Jacob Javits Center, which is the biggest demonstration location in New York City. And so we appreciate that. So thank you. Now, Regina, you are a longtime fan of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I know. So what's one of the things that you enjoy about the show when you tune in?
I enjoy the talk. I enjoy the discussion. I enjoy a lot of things about the show. Vet talk and the young lady from Mississippi,
Nicole Marie, our co-host.
Right.
Yes. Well, we shout them both out this morning.
Yes, and we thank
you for also coming to our live event. You're at our big recent live event in Manhattan, so we thank you. You're always a big supporter. Again, the great Regina.
Yes.
Regina, thank you so much. You get on back home now, okay?
Okay,
thank
I sure
you much
will.
For being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us.
Bye-bye now.
In November 2022, researchers found out that women who use chemicals in their hair, such as hair relaxers, are likely to develop uterine cancer. At Heal & Go, we pride ourselves as the producers of all-natural hair care products. We use all-natural organic ingredients in our products to ensure a chemical-free process. Visit our website at www.healandgo.com to read about all our products and their uses. Again, our website is www.healandgo.com.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. I've got a very special guest on the line with us, Miss Alicia Marie Rivers of Jolie Magazine.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm fine, Alicia. Welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to jump right on in. Let's tell the folks about Jolie Magazine.
Well, Jolie Magazine is a beauty and wellness magazine for women of color. We have as our editor-at-large, Vivica Fox, and what we basically cater to is women and encourage them to feel pretty and to live pretty, which is our tagline.
Okay. Now, how did this all come about? Well, first of all, I mean, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but how did the idea of Jolie Magazine really come about?
Well, Carrie, when I was 16, I've always had this dream of having my own magazine. And I've worked in different magazines throughout the years. And I said, you know what? There's no magazine out there that really targets us from a beauty perspective. So I said, one day I want to start my own magazine. So I got together with my partner, Rachel Breton, and we created Jolie.
Which is one of those magazines that, I mean, every single woman of color must have.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's not just about what cosmetics you should be using for a particular season, but it's also encouraging women to, like I said before, live pretty and be happy with who they are no matter what they look like in terms of complexion, size, but really just embrace their natural beauty.
Now, I want to talk about Miss Vivica A. Fox. How on earth did you get Vivica to take part in a project like this? I had never known her to be so closely tied to any kind of a publication. So how did all that come about?
Well, when Rachel and I were thinking about the magazine, I said to her that we need someone that people can easily relate to, kind of like, you know, a best girlfriend or someone that has a great sense of humor. And Vivica was at the top of the list.
Mm.
Contacted her publicist, mm-hmm. had a meeting, presented Vivica with our whole idea as well as a comp of the magazine, and mm-hmm. she loved it, said, listen, I'm on board with you guys.
Well, I have to tell you something. First of all, I'm just blown over, and I'm sure our listeners out there, the ones who've already picked up some of the copies, let's tell our listeners out there, Alicia, how often does the magazine come out, and how might they be able to get a copy of Jolie magazine?
It's bi-monthly. It comes out every other month, and they can pick it up at Barnes & Noble, Kroger, 7-Eleven, Rite Aid, as well as independent, depending on where they are, independent gas stations, places like that, as well as B. Dalton.
Now, how about the website?
The website, JolieLivePretty.com.
Terrific. Now, I'm terrific to have you with us on the Hair Radio Show. For those of you, again, who've just logged in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line is Miss Alicia Rivers of Jolie Magazine.
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, let's talk about some of your experience. I mean, of course, being the editor-in-chief, you have worked with some of the top magazines, I know, in the past. And it's really interesting when I kind of review your information, because I'm looking at someone who was kind of creating and trailblazing a role mm-hmm. in terms of being a woman of color at magazines that were historically, you know, pretty much across the board, not necessarily, you know, relating to one particular ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was thrilling to see someone kind of like really trailblazing, you know, that type of role with the magazines.
Mm, thank you, Carrie. Well, I'm really proud of my achievements thus far. There was one magazine that I worked for called 101 Hairstyles, which was a non-ethnic magazine, and I was the first black woman to head that particular publication.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of myself for that. And previously to that, I was with a magazine called Black Elegance.
Right, BE, yes, of course.
I was the beauty editor for maybe 5 years, I believe it was, and
right.
That was a great experience.
So you have really... I want to say paid your dues, but you've cut your teeth. As they say, you've cut your teeth very well.
I have. And like I said, I always said to myself, you know, we need something out there that's fun and not necessarily dictating what you should look like, but telling you, listen, embrace your beauty, have fun. You know, live your life through pleasure, enjoy who you are and what you look like, and that's what Jolie is all about.
Well, terrifically said. Now, I love that, I think there was a line that I thought was just terrifically stated on your site as well. Now, there's something I want to ask you about. I saw you, I believe, on the Montel Williams show.
Yes.
And I think you were also with Vivica Fox, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was.
Now, tell us about that. And tell us, it seems like your foray, you're definitely getting more into television and some of the other aspects that are out there. Tell us about all of that and what was that experience like?
Oh, my God, it was great. Montel is just fantastic. His producer, Antoinette, is fantastic as well. We partnered with him and did a makeover show for women. And it was just phenomenal, just to see the befores and afters and how gracious these women were. And Vivica was just great to fly in and participate in the show.
Yeah, it was just an outstanding, and it was a great surprise, too. It was really a terrific, well-done show.
Thank you.
So do you see yourself developing more in that area as well?
I do. I've started to get offers to do more television, just to make a guest appearance. And that's something that I've thought about, but I've been so busy just in terms of creating the magazine and
mm-hmm.
doing things here and there that television has always been in the back of my mind.
Well, you have got a great magazine out there, and it is on the stands, and it's, as you had mentioned, in all those wonderful locations. We just want to remind the folks, again, we want them to check out, we want you guys out there to check out the website,
www.jolielivepretty.com, as well as you can...
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins. Executive producer Carrie Hines and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
Michael Hopkins. Listen, I am super, super excited, as always, to be rolling out another edition of the Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines in Brooklyn, New York, with the one and only Michael Hopkins from beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. Michael, officially, good morning.
Good morning, Carrie Hines.
Yes, well, I want to roll right on in. I'm super, super excited. So I think I heard a little bit about the title, but please fill us all in on what the topic is for today.
Carrie, today we're covering the significance of rateable secondary claims.
Okay. Well, you know, secondary claims, I mean, that's a big, big can of worms. So please tell everybody a little bit more. What exactly are secondary claims, Michael Hopkins?
Secondary claims are a result of direct service granting of primary claims. In other words, a veteran had an injury or illness on active duty. That illness or injury was granted to the veteran as a result of military service.
Mm.
Another injury or illness developed as a result of the primary service-connected injury or illness.
Okay.
The veteran now
can
file for that secondary illness or injury.
Amazing. Okay, Michael Hopkins, take it away.
Carrie, we're going to be covering 4, 3, 2, and 1. But first, let me remind you guys of numbers 14 through 5.
Wow.
Number 14 was ear conditions and tinnitus and a few other things. Number 13 was wrist conditions like nerve damage, arthritis. Number 12 was neck injuries, headaches, nerve damage, arthritis. Number 11 was sleep apnea, touching on respiratory illnesses. Number 10, shoulder conditions like nerve changes, arthritis, things of that nature. Number 9 was sinus, sinusitis, rhinitis, bronchitis, more respiratory issues. Number 8 was mental health, centering around PTSD, anxiety, depression, sleep apnea, IBS. Number 7, migraines, those headaches, and they center around other things like vertigo, ear conditions. Number 6 was knee conditions. That's that flexion and extension that can turn into foot conditions and lower back conditions, to name a few. Number 5 was hypertension, better known as high blood pressure. And that creates other problems like diabetes, obesity, liver issues, kidney issues, stroke.
A whole host of things.
A whole host of issues,
so.
Carrie Hines.
Well,
now,
Michael, yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, Carrie, this brings us to number 4.
Well,
and we're talking,
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Oh,
so you're
yeah.
number 4 on the countdown today, Michael, and I'm super, super excited. Okay, please roll on in again with the significance of rateable secondary claims, Michael Hopkins.
Karen, number 4, foot conditions. And that the foot conditions in the veterans population is just one of those things that it just happens. It's even hard to say if it's just like not happening a lot to a lot of veterans, but it happens. And it's always centered around a lot of the same issues, Carrie Hines, believe it or not. It centers around the same issues. One of those issues is pes planus. And you're probably saying, what the heck is that? Pes planus. Can you give a guess what you think that might be, Carrie Hines?
I can't even begin to guess. I can't even pronounce it. So what exactly is pes planus, Michael?
On the civilian side of things, Carrie, we call that flat feet.
Oh, that we know.
That we know. Yeah, lots of people suffer from that.
Yeah,
and especially a lot of veterans suffer from it. And I remember in the past, we touched on this a little bit, and I had mentioned the fact that way back when, as far as the military was concerned, one of the things that damaged our feet were the boots that we wore. We wear combat style boots.
Yeah.
And it's not, and you know, Carrie, it's not like the boots were tailored made, and you know, they weren't no. They weren't tailored made Italian boots that the Army spent a ton of money on. Didn't happen.
No problem.
Yeah, it was just mass produced. You got what you got. If you got the right size, you're okay. You may not have gotten the right size, believe it or not, in the boots. Believe it or not, Carrie Hines. And guess what happened?
Well,
you had issues.
You had issues. Now, when you say flat feet, again, this is a person who has no visible arch in the foot.
Right.
When they stand.
Pretty much.
Okay, so that's, and again, it can happen, you know. So, I mean, this is really big, Michael. There are a lot of folks
with this.
So this is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's another one, Carrie, that you may or may not have heard of. It's called plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that one?
Now, we've heard of, because, you know, we have people who come on and we have some folks who talk about this often, foot doctors who come on our show. So that's the only reason. Otherwise, I would never heard of fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis, yes. And it affects us, you know, as military service member, that heel problem.
Yeah.
We can have a foot problem or a heel problem. And sometimes we have ankle problems as a result.
I have ankle problems too.
Yes, splint and shin splints. And sometimes, Carrie, it even goes a step further and we start having knee issues as a result of foot conditions, leg conditions. It even can go to your back. A lot of veterans have back conditions as a result of foot conditions. That can create obesity.
Wow.
Bilateral conditions. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. We sort of call it, Carrie, we as veterans, we sort of call it being toe up from the flow up. That's sort of like what we call it.
Literally.
And you are. And it's painful. It can even lead to mental health issues, Carrie.
Wow.
I just want to say this again.
We're talking about foot conditions, folks. Foot conditions. Who would ever think that foot conditions, all these things could emanate out of foot conditions? So, Michael, here's what's the critical part of this, and for me the takeaway. If you had not mentioned this, we would have never been able to make the correlation.
Right.
Quite sincerely. So I love that you cover these things on behalf of the veterans, because who would think of these things? Who would think that there's a relationship between these?
And this is right. important for the veterans to know when they are trying to complete their claims.
Very much so,
Karen. So, Michael, awesome job. Okay, number four was huge. You came in with a bang.
Yes.
So,
Michael, yes.
What is at number three on your breakdown list today? Again, the significance of breakable secondary claims on the Vet Talk Radio Show.
Karen, number three, ankle conditions.
Oh, boy.
Ankle conditions. And a lot of veterans don't think about ankle conditions. They may think about a foot condition or a knee condition, but a lot of them don't think about ankle conditions.
Right.
And those ankle conditions, once again, can lead to feet problems, knee problems, leg problems, nerve damage, shin splints, back problems, obesity. And that, you know, sometimes just the obesity part of this, a lot of times we as veterans, we overlook it because we just think, oh, well, I'm just gaining a little weight. Not necessarily, because guess what? If your ankles bother you, Carrie, how much exercise are you going to be doing?
Not much.
Yeah, it's not going to happen because it hurts. It hurts. You know, I know veterans like myself, it becomes an issue. And that issue can lead to obesity, which can lead to other issues. Sometimes
again,
it's a bilateral.
And they may not realize it. That's
yeah, and they you're right. They may not realize it. Sometimes it's a bilateral condition, i.e., my left ankle is rated or it hurts. It gets rated 10%, 20%. But guess what? Now I walk with what's called an altered gait.
Oh.
In other words, I walk with a limp, and I'm compensating for the other side. And now all of a sudden my right side becomes damaged. So now I have an issue with my right side and it could be rateable. But what I have to do is do what? Apply for it. And a lot of vets don't apply for it because they have no idea. But it's just like it's a wow.
Well, this is why, Michael, who would think a lot of these things? So it's critical that we have a Michael Hopkins, an accredited claims agent. And let me just remind everybody out there, all the fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show, again, for all the folks who tune in, all of the veterans, Michael, you are an accredited claims agent. You are an expert at what you do. And I just want to thank you so much on behalf of all the veterans and all of our friends and families and folks who tune in to this broadcast. So great job, Michael Hopkins. And ankle conditions huge. Wow. Okay. What's next, Michael?
Number two, Carrie, is lumbar.
Ooh.
Your lower back.
Okay.
Oh, yes. There are so many of us that know that issue. And that is in the veterans community. Lumbar issue is a huge problem because of the nature of what we do as military people. It's a huge problem. That the lumbar problem, believe it or not, Carrie, the lumbar problem could start in basic training. And a lot of veterans don't realize that.
Yeah, so remind everybody of some of these problems that, you know, that start with, that turn into the lumbar, how the lumbar all gets going, please.
Wow. Lots of issues with that back. Many times, Carrie, one of the issues is the repetition.
Mm-mm.
As military people, we do a lot of repetition. We pick up things. We lift up things. We do all kinds of training that involved our lower backs. A really good example is doing sit-ups and how that arches the back at repetition. And it got to a point where a lot of service members started having those issues with their backs. And these were, it's not like you're older, you're
right.
having these problems. But these
That's
were younger people starting to have arthritis. You know, they may be in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're developing arthritis or herniated disc. They could be developing hip pain, a sciatic nerve, the nerve that runs all the way down your back, down your legs. That sciatic back pain, which, and sometimes these issues, once again, they could lead to obesity. You know, Terry, they could even lead to, believe it or not, they could lead to bladder issues, bladder conditions because of your lower back. Feet problems, neck problems, your middle part of your back problems.
Michael. This is why, and you are calling out some of these things on behalf of the veterans, because you guys out there tuned in, you can hear some of the things that you're dealing with that you might not have thought of. And this is something that is so critical, Michael. So I love this to help out the veterans today on the secondaries and the
very critical, Karen.
Yes.
A lot of these things are very critical.
Yeah.
And I mean very critical.
Yeah, so I want to kind of go back a little and kind of take a look at this series again. To when you talk about the significance of the rateable secondary claims, and it was important for you to do this. This was something you talked about. The secondaries are important, far more important than we had thought, or maybe that the veterans think when it comes to completion of the claims.
Very much so, Carrie. Very much so. A lot of these things, Carrie, as veterans, when we're filing for compensation, we may overlook a lot of these things. And I've seen it just myself as an accredited claims agent when I help veterans to file for their claims.
Right.
These are the questions that I ask them about the functioning of their bodies. I ask them critical questions. How's your back doing? Your mental health? What about your ankles? I notice you walk with a limp. What I do is I pay close attention to the individual veteran. I watch how they walk. Even when I'm talking to them, interviewing them, I watch how they conduct the interview. If
Michael,
I see them,
I'm calling you Dr. Hopkins.
Oh yeah, very much,
I mean,
very much so, Carrie.
You go in with this, as the kids say, you analyze everything. You provide a great analysis that most often just about anybody who's not a trained accredited claims agent might realize. So, Michael, an accredited claims agent, I'm just so grateful that you're doing what you do. So, Michael, give us a reminder of those numbers one more time before we get to roll on in at your top number one.
Right. Wow. Number 14 was ear conditions. Number 13 was wrist conditions. Number 12 was neck conditions. Number 11 was sleep apnea and respiratory issues. Number 10 was shoulder conditions. Number 9, believe it or not, was sinusitis, rhinitis, bronchitis. These are all very heavy respiratory issues.
Yes.
Number 8 was mental health issues centering around things like PTSD, anxiety, et cetera. Number 7 was migraines, those headaches that people get. Number 6 was knee conditions. Number 5 was hypertension. Believe it or not, That's like a wow, isn't it?
That's a big one, Michael. That's a big one.
Number four, foot conditions. Number three, ankle conditions. Number two, lower back conditions or lumbar conditions.
And Michael, I've got to jump in and say thank you so much for an outstanding listing today, countdown, if you will, again, on the significance of rateable secondary claims. So you have arrived. I wish I had a big old drum roll here.
Yes.
The number one listing today. So please, Michael Hopkins, take it away.
Number one listing is pre-existing conditions.
Wow, pre-existing conditions. Okay, what does that mean, Michael?
Carrie, wow, yeah. What that means is these are documented conditions that a service member had before they joined the military.
Mm.
And guess what happened to these pre-existing conditions? Once you got in the military,
right. The
pre-existing conditions got worse while you were in the military. They got worse.
Mm. Wow. So how on earth does that become a rateable secondary? You got to break this on down, Michael.
Let me break it down with an example.
Okay.
And this one is fairly how can I say it? It's a fairly common example, Carrie Hines.
Okay.
A service member goes into the military with pre-existing pes planus, better known as flat feet. They have a mild condition of flat feet. They get a waiver. In other words, the military allows them in knowing that they have flat feet.
Yes.
But, Carrie, the key to this, it has to be documented before the service member goes into the military, before they raise their right hand, get sworn in.
Right.
As long as it's documented, it's an official pre-existing condition.
Got it. But the key word you said was documented.
Documented. It has to be documented. Right.
Wow.
And it's got to be in their service treatment records. A lot of the veterans don't understand. They think their service treatment record starts when they go to their first duty assignment. Well, that's not where it starts. It starts before you even come in the military, Carrie.
That's actually a very important, you might need
very
to really
important.
Say that again.
Right. Once again,
yeah.
I want everybody to understand your illnesses and injuries as a service member actually start before you even go into basic training. When you're having your physicals and everything before you go to basic training, and if they find something, that's where everything begins for you to file for compensation. But it has to be documented. I tell my vets all the time, if they have their what we call SRTs, their original service treatment records. In other words, their sick call slips or what we call your medical records, Carrie.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Your medical records. As long as they have their medical records and their medical records from pre-basic on clearly show they had some issues, like we talked about the feet issues. Once they're in the military and their feet sometimes go on a downward spiral. You begin to have issues with your feet. You go on sick call, or as a civilian, you would call it going to the emergency room, going to the doctor.
Right. You
complain about your feet, they get x-rays, they put you on light duty. All of these factors, Carrie, can help a veteran when it's time for them to file for a foot issue or a back issue or a hearing issue, headaches issues, digestive issues, mental health issues, respiratory issues. These are examples of pre-existing conditions that can be, as we call it, exasperated by military service. Once you get out of the military, if you still have these issues and you still go to a doctor for them, well, that's pretty much easier for you to file than anything else, Carrie Hines, because
that's what
you have a pre-existing condition. It went all the way through your military service. When you got out, you continued to have this problem. And a lot of vets, that's what's calling a nexus, or that ties everything together. And at that point in time, when you filed the compensation section of the VA, they pretty much have to concede that, yes, this started before you went in. It got worse while you were in. You continue to have the problem once you got out of active military service. Isn't that beautiful, Carrie? Isn't that
Michael,
just beautiful?
I am just blown away. A to the W-A-Y with it. Again,
yeah.
Vet Talk Radio, this is incredible. The significance of readable secondary claims. Outstanding job today, Michael Hopkins. Accredited.
Thank you, Carrie.
Really great work. I'm very impressed. So listen, Michael Hopkins, I have to ask you, as we do each week, please, what would you like to say to everybody, to all the veterans, all the fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show today?
It's all about the vets, their families, the advocates for the vets, and anyone that has an interest in helping a veteran, Carrie Hines.
Awesome. Well, on that note, Michael Hopkins, thank you. Great job. Awesome. And we'll see you guys back here next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup, and each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, and our entire sponsorship family. We thank Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel and all of you. Thank you.